Praise God. Welcome to Genesis One Christian Ministries. Pastor Mike here. Why don't you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for this time that we're about to have with you, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus that Holy Spirit will minister to every single listener that is out there today, Lord God. We praise you and just magnify thy name, Lord God, and we know that you are in charge of our lives, and we give it all to you, Lord God. Instruct us this day. Speak to us in your own special way. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God again. Welcome to Genesis 1. Let me say right at the beginning here, if you don't have your Bible, why don't you hit pause, run and get your Bible, a pencil, pen, marker or something, piece of paper to take some notes on. You'd be surprised how the things that we discuss here and the things that you underline and outline in your Bible can come back to help you, you know, as life just goes on around us. Amen. And speaking of life going on around us, I want to talk a little bit today about problems. Okay, we all have problems that come into our lives and so forth. But I want to say right at the outset here that there is no such thing as an unsolvable problem. It does not exist. Okay, you need to consider problems as a challenge, you know, an opportunity for improvement or whatever you may have it. But we need to learn that if we could just find a way to not shift into negative gear, okay, when an issue rises up in our lives. Because if we could learn to not shift into negative gear, we could experience more joy and lessen anxiety and stress when we're going through these issues that rise up in our lives, okay? Like most things in life, we need to have a plan or a strategy on how to deal with a problem or how to deal with a challenge that arises in our life. Of course, based on God's word, okay, based on what God tells us to do in the scriptures and so forth, but we need to have a plan or a strategy how to deal with negative things that arise in our lives. And negative things will arise in our life, okay? And I want to use an extreme here just to illustrate a point in terms of like having a strategy. Think about what could, you know, what could be an issue or a problem? What could be worse in life than having a fire, for instance, like that? I'm going to an extreme here to illustrate a point, a fire. Okay, and even worse than that, God forbid, was if you were caught in a fire and then you catch on fire, your clothing catches on fire. You know, now what would you do? What would you do? Okay, now standard fire safety techniques, you know, give us a concept called stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll. Okay, and what stop, drop, and roll means that you stop if your clothing is on fire. You stop. You do not run. You do not run, because if you're running around and fanning and flailing around and everything like that, all that is doing is creating more wind and more air to the fire, and therefore it increases the flames. Okay, so the first thing you want to do is stop. The next thing that the safety experts tell us we're supposed to do is drop down to the floor. Drop to the floor, put your hands over your face and don't move, okay, at first. Drop to the floor, and then you are to roll. You have to roll over from back to front, just keep rolling over and over, because that smothers the flames, okay? So in other words, again, if you're caught on fire, God forbid, you stop, don't run around, cover your face, drop down to the floor, roll over and roll over, roll. Stop, drop, and roll. Now, I want to use that same concept of stop, drop, and roll and applying it to the things in life that we're calling problems or challenges that come up. And if we consider using that technique in dealing with the problems, then we can develop a strategy in our lives when a problem comes around. Okay, so therefore, today's message is based on stop, drop, and roll. You're saying, oh, Jesus, now how is he going to take this and build this into something scriptural and how I can deal with the problem? I've got a problem in my life. I've got a challenge in my life. I've got some issues going on, my job, my finances, my family, other personal things going on or whatever. Now, how am I going to apply the stop, drop, and roll to that? Well, this is what I want to see how we can do this today. And again, I'm going to the Word of God. We can't do anything here without relating experiences in life to what the Word of God tells us, okay? So the first thing I want to deal with is stop. Like I said, we all have challenges and we all have what the Bible calls tribulations. But first we have to stop. We do not run around trying to figure out what to do, okay? Stopping in relative to problems of life, challenges of life, tribulations of life in life, is to stop running around panicking and trying to figure out what to do. Stop running around and stop thinking about your Jesus. Who can I text? Who can I call? Who can I send an email to? Who can I go see? And you're kind of running around, just like you're on fire, because when you have a really bad issue in life going on, when you've got a really bad challenge in life, you've got a really bad problem in life going on, it feels like your life is on fire. It feels like everything is being destroyed around you. So the first thing we have to learn to do is to not panic and stop running around and trying to figure out how you can solve the problem. Stop focusing on the problem. First of all, God said that we would have tribulations in life. God said that we would have challenges. God said that we would have tribulations. All right. So with that, let's go to John 16, verse 32. Thank you, Jesus. John 16, verse 32. Okay. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And I say to you today too, the Father is with you, by the way, okay? No matter who scatters away from you, no matter who deserts you, you got family members, you got co-workers who at one time supported you, you know, people that you knew, and all of a sudden they've deserted you, you're not alone. God is always with you. Verse 33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Jesus is saying, in me, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Please highlight or underline that. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay? So God says right off the bat here, Jesus is doing the speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see these words written in red. Jesus is doing the speaking here, and he's saying that in the world, you will have tribulation. Okay. So expect that saying of God. Tribulations will come into the world. But again, today's message is about how do I deal with those tribulations? Okay. And what I'm saying to you is that you need to have a strategy. You need to have a strategy. So far we just talked about the stopping. Okay. Stopping and know that you will indeed have problems in life. Another illustration of that is if we go to Daniel 6 verse 1. Daniel 6. Verse 1, we see here where it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. In other words, the king should not be blamed for anything. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as so much he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Okay, so they were jealous of him, first of all. So they wanted to blame him for something. There had to be some problem with Daniel. They very much disliked him, but they could find nothing really to blame on him. Okay, nothing to find fault in. Verse number 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it in him, against him concerning the law of his God. Okay, so they couldn't attack him on a secular level or on a work level, you know, in the office there. You know, you've got this issue going on there where people are jealous of you or they dislike you for whatever reason, but your work ethic is perfect. Okay. You know your job, you know, professionally, technically, you have the skills. You're doing your job so well, so they can't find anything wrong with you there, but they know you're a born again believer. They know that you're a Christian. So they're saying, and this is the only way that we can attack him, is through his God. Okay, it says here, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they want to use his religion, quote unquote, if you will, to attack him. The same thing can happen to us also, okay? And I suspect as things continue the way they are indeed going in the world, you know, you see that Christianity, you know, is being persecuted here, as Christians are being persecuted, churches and so on like that, that if you're in the workplace and you're doing something really, really well, they can find no fault. They may come at you as far as the fact that you being a Christian, okay, especially a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, all right? That just irks so many people because the Bible said that it would. The Bible said that it would. You know, Jesus predicted that. You know, he said, these things will happen because of your relationship to me. I'm paraphrasing, all right? So this is what's happening with Daniel. They could find no fault with him, so they're going to try to find it concerning the law of his God. Verse number 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Okay? So they get together and they say, we want to put together a law, a statute, a law saying that any man that shall petition or pray to anyone, any man of God besides you, will be cast into the den of lions. Verse number 8 says, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which alters not. Okay, so saying when you sign this decree now, it will not be, it cannot be changed. Because once you sign it, O king, it's going to stay in place according to the laws, the ancient laws of the Persians and the Medes. All right. Verse number 9 says, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. He went on and signed it. Now, verse 10. Here's the interesting part. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Okay? As he did aforetime. And then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. All right? So in other words, the point I want to stress is in verse number 10, Daniel knew about this law, but it didn't stop him. He still went on and he worshiped God. All right. So problems, indeed, tribulations will arise. Daniel had a big tribulation here because he was breaking the law by praying to God. We have to be so strong and so firm in our belief and our faith in God that whatever, God forbid, that there would come down a law in our land, in our country, or maybe the country that you live in, that will out and out forbid you from worshiping. Okay. How bold will you be? Will you be bold enough and strong enough to still go before the Lord? Amen. And pray. This is what Daniel did. Right? So we see a couple of things so far. Jesus said that you will have tribulations. Here's an example of Daniel having a big tribulations. But we need to always focus on the Word of God. Need to make sure that we're focusing on the Word of God when things come up in the future, because Jesus said that you will have tribulations. We want to look at now, if you go to Proverbs 4, verse 20. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says here, my son, attend to my words. Okay? My son. You listening out there, attend to my words, Jesus' words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Okay, so regarding problems going on, all right, we're developing a strategy here, all right? So he's saying here, attend to my words. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the left, to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. All right? So according to this, now we need to focus on Jesus and the Word. Solomon is telling us in this proverb that we must keep our eyes fixed on what is before us if we're going to stay on the path of righteousness. We should think carefully about, the word they used there was ponder, think carefully about the path on which our feet are taking us as we keep our eyes fixed on what's ahead. Right? We see that in verse 27, it implies that if we fail to keep our gaze straight before us, we will inevitably swerve off the path and drift towards sin and wickedness. So we need to make sure we're keeping our eyes focused, keeping our eyes and our gaze on Jesus and on the Word. Okay. Now I remember it talks about if you don't look, keep your eyes fixed, that you're going to stray off the path. I remember one time I was wrestling with some vertigo, and that's a terrible thing to have, the dizziness and so on like that. And it was to the point that I actually went to a physical therapist. And one of the exercises that they had you do to get your balance back was to close your eyes and just simply step in place, okay? Just step in place. You know, don't move forward or backward. Just step in place and close your eyes and doing it. And you did that. You did it for several minutes. I think it was three or five minutes or so. And would you believe that you start off in one particular place, and you close, your eyes are closed, and you're stepping. When you open your eyes, you have veered off to either the left or the right side. Okay, you are not in the place that you started out being. So that reminded me, you know, this scripture reminded me of that. If you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, okay, only, and don't look to your left or to your right, then you will be stable. You'll keep going in the direction that God wants you to go. So that's something else that we need to think about when these challenges or these problems or these tribulations come into our lives. Okay, once you stop focusing on the problems, then, okay, after you stop focusing on the problems, the next thing that you need to do is drop. Okay, we're talking about stop, drop, and roll. Okay, so we stop focusing on the problem so much. We're keeping our eyes on Jesus, and then we drop. Now, what do we mean by drop here? In this strategy here, based on scripture here now, we need to drop to our knees in prayer. Okay, stop focusing on the problem. Step two, now drop. Drop to your knees in prayer. And if we go to James 5:13, James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Okay? Stop and drop. Drop to your knees and pray. If any among you is afflicted, God knows when you've got a major problem, a major tribulation, a major situation going on in your life, you're afflicted. You're afflicted at that point. You've got pressures on you. You've got all sorts of things going, all sorts of thoughts. So you're being afflicted. Any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Okay. If you've got an issue now where you're suffering with infirmity, you're afflicted by infirmity. You've got some sickness going on in your body. Just found out you've got some kind of ailment or some other disease that's going on. Okay. And this is a major problem for you. Stop panicking. Stop running around and, you know, banging your head against the wall. Drop to your knees and start some praying. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over them. It's one of the things we believe in deeply in Genesis 1 is praying over and praying for people. We believe in the laying on of hands and anointing people when they're sick and when anything else is going in their life. And it's based on scripture. Any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay, effectual fervent prayer. Fervent prayer means prayer that's not giving up. Where you're really, really praying or something. You're believing deep in your heart. From your depths of your spirit, you believe that God is hearing. You know that God is hearing. You know that you're going to be healed. You know the situation will be dealt with. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay, stop. Drop to your knees and pray. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Okay? Elijah believed and he knew that if he prayed that these things would come to pass. When this situation, this problem, this tribulation comes into your life, you have to believe that your prayer is effective as you go before the throne of grace in the name of Jesus. And that's the key, praying in the name of Jesus. All right. Okay. So stop, drop to your knees in prayer and do not give up. Do not give up. Do not give up. All right. The last part of this strategy now is the role. After you stopped, you know, worrying about this so much, you stopped running around like crazy trying to figure out what you can do, right? You stop doing that. You drop down to your knees and you start praying in accordance with the word as God is telling you to do, okay? You know, and that, as a matter of fact, with the prayer thing too, by the way, let me just throw in there, you know, say you're praying for healing, okay? You start off the process by saying, of course, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, spirit of whatever the issue is. I rebuke your spirit of back pain. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke your spirit of back pain, because with Jesus' stripes I am healed. And you believe that with all of your being, because with Jesus' stripes I am healed. I rebuke you, spirit of back pain, because in the name of Jesus, and with Jesus' stripes I am healed. And you believe that. Subsequent days, what you start praying is, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for I believe that I am healed of back pain, because with Jesus' stripes I am healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe that I am healed, because what you've done now is that in that initial prayer where you sent forth the prayer for healing, okay, and you're basing the fact that you're basing the fact on the healing, because Jesus said, by your stripes I am healed, okay? Now, then the following days after that, when you're praying, you say, thank you, Lord God, for I believe that I am healed. In other words, I believe that it was done, okay? Because the word of God says that when God hears your prayer, the first time he hears it and he answers that prayer, if it's in line with this word, of course, and healing is. All right, so that first time you pray, you believe that God indeed heard your prayer and that he's answered it. Now, it may take time for that answer to manifest in the physical world. It may take time for that manifestation of the answered prayer to manifest itself in your healed back, where the pain is gone. So each day until it physically manifests, you just tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, for I believe that I am healed in the name of Jesus, because with Jesus' stripes I am healed. You're confessing God's word right back to him. You're confessing his word into reality, because I believe that with Jesus' stripes I am healed. Okay, and then at the time that manifestation of the answered prayer occurs in your back and the pain is gone, then you jump up and down and you say, praise Lord, praise Lord. Thank you so much for healing my back in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. This is a part of prayer. This is fervent, effectual prayer, okay, of a righteous man. And you're a righteous person, man or woman. Amen. You are a righteous person. So when you're praying, that is a very, very important part of getting through, of having a strategy for dealing with a tribulation or a problem or an issue that comes up in life. Okay. And you've had them. God has brought you through in many times. Don't forget that also when you're in this prayer. Remember how God brought you through a previous situation that you had. Okay. And I'm sure that everyone out there listening to me, at some time or another, you had a Goliath of a prayer, a Goliath of an issue, a Goliath of a stressful situation, a Goliath of a tribulation, and God delivered you. God brought you through. Well, he's always going to do that as long as you keep faith. As long as you keep the faith and you know that now I'm developing a strategy. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to panic and start running around, you know, trying to figure out how I can solve the problem myself, okay? And after I can really, really stop doing that, because by me running around, all I'm doing is I'm just increasing the problem. I'm fanning the flames of the problem, so to speak. After I stop, now I'm going to drop to my knees in prayer, okay? When that thing comes into your life, I'm going to drop to my knees in prayer, okay? So now, stop, drop, and the last part is roll here. Stop, drop, and roll. After you pray, we need to roll our cares upon God. Okay, roll our cares upon God. Give it over to him. Let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Okay. Now, first of all, this is starting out by just telling us, first of all, that we're not to be worrying ourselves about evildoers. Okay. And that is so easy for us today to get concerned and worried and annoyed when we see evildoers, people that are non-believers, the things that they're doing, the things that they're getting away with. And it seems like they just go unpunished. You know, they seem to be getting away with so many things. You know, they, the powers that be, tell us that you shall do this, you shall not do this, you shan't do this, you shan't do this, you shall this, you shall this. But then we see in their lives, they're not doing what they're telling us that we should do. We see that so all around. And we know that these people in many cases are indeed living evil lives. They're not believers. You know, in many cases, they're really just unbelievers. And they're just telling us so many things they want us to do. Yes, though they seem to be getting away with everything themselves. And they seem to be prospering too. I mean, you know, private jets and many cars and several houses and so forth and large incomes and so on like that, you know, and they seem to be getting away with everything. We are not to worry about that as Christians. Fret not yourself because of them. Okay, what they're doing out there. We need to keep our eyes focused on God, focused on Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, now is the time for you to you to come to him, just give yourself to him. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your personal Lord and Savior. It's not difficult. It's not a challenging thing to do. If you just in your heart, the word of God said, if you in your heart, if you believe that he indeed is the Son of God and that Jesus is who he says he is, and you ask him into your life, then you're saved. Okay. And then that opens a whole new set of doors for you in life. It opens up a whole new set of doors for you to stop worrying about things, to stop carrying burdens for what's going on around you, to stop fearing what the outcome of your life is going to be, to stop fearing what your future is going to be. Okay, that opens up a whole pantheon of doors before you once you ask Jesus into your life and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen, amen. And once you start doing that, then like it becomes a bit easier for you to fret not because of evildoers. Neither be you envious against the workers of iniquity. Do not be jealous of them. Say, Jesus, this guy is not a believer, but look at all the money he's making. Look at the wonderful clothes he's wearing. Look how she dresses. Oh, boy, you know. Look at the rings on her fingers. Oh, my, she gets, drives a nice car, has a couple of houses, nice houses. You know, fret not yourself about them, and do not be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the herb. God's going to deal with them. Amen. So don't compare your lifestyle to theirs, okay? And do not fret. Do not fret about it, okay? Verse number 3 says, okay, we're talking about stop, drop, and roll. Now we're on the last category calling roll. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed, okay? All right? So you got this issue, this problem, this tribulation of this giant of a problem that's destroying. Trust in God. And just simply do good. Do what the word of God calls you to do, okay? And dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Remember I said, when you see that word verily, that means like, you know, here's a truth. Verily means like, you know, here's the truth. You shall be fed. When it says you shall be fed, this is talking about more than food. Meaning that you will be fed spiritually. You will be fed emotionally. You will be fed financially. Whatever that need is, God indeed will give it to you. But first, you've got to trust in the Lord and do good. Verse number 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When you're in the midst of this tribulation, this problem, this big thing that's just devastating your life, you know, trust in God and then delight yourself in the Lord. And how do you delight yourself in the Lord? You delight yourself in the Lord knowing that he loves you, knowing that he cares for you, knowing that he's there for you, knowing that he will bring you through whatever this tribulation is, that he's going to bring yourself through it. So just simply trust him. Delight yourself in the Lord. And then if you do that, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Okay? So you've dropped, you stopped. You stopped worrying about the problem. You dropped to your knees in prayer, and now you're doing these things. You're rolling it over to him by committing your way to the Lord. Committing your way to the Lord means that you're rolling it over to him. You are giving it to him. You're rolling your problem over from your shoulders onto his. When you commit someone, you know, let's say you had someone in the family that, you know, had some severe, you know, psychological issues and so forth. And you and your wife or husband, you couldn't care for them anymore. Or no one in the family could care for them. You know, then and you need professional 24/7 help, you know, then you take that person to a hospital, you know, to where their mental issues can be examined and treated and so on like that. And you may have to just give them over to the mental facility there to help them. Well, that's called committing someone. I'm sure you've heard that expression before. They committed so-and-so to the hospital. They committed so-and-so. That's because of the fact that you did not have the ability to minister to them. You did not have the ability to medically or psychologically care for them. So you gave them over to someone who could. Okay. They needed 24/7 attention. So you committed them over to the mental institution, let's say. All right. So that's committing them. So that means you're giving it to them. It's the same thing with our issues and problems. We cannot deal with them in ourselves. Okay. We do not have the mental ability. We don't have the physical ability compared to God. We don't have the insights. We don't have the knowledge. So we can't deal with those problems, those big problems ourselves. So we have to commit it to God. Commit thy way. Commit your way unto the Lord. Lord, I've got this major issue going on. I don't know how I'm going to have the money to pay the mortgage. I don't know where or how I'm going to pay the rent. Lord, my car broke down. I need a car in order to get to work to earn a living. I don't know how. I don't know this. And you simply, you do not have the ability to solve this problem. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Stop, drop, roll that issue. Roll that issue over to on the Lord. And then you trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's verse number 5. If you have a highlighter or a pencil or a pen, please highlight that in your Bible. Highlight that in your Bible there. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Please underline that also. Rest in the Lord. Okay, right? You've stopped worrying about this problem. You stopped running around like a chicken with his head cut off. You've dropped to your knees and you've prayed about it. Now you've got to roll. You've got to roll. Roll it over on him. And when you roll it over to God, then you rest in the Lord, knowing that he has it, and wait patiently for him. All right? So you give it to God now and you say, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait patiently on you, Lord, because Lord, I know you know that I need the money. You know that I know rent day is such and such a day, mortgage day is such and such a day. Okay, my car is been totaled and I need a new car. You know the deadlines that are there. So rest in the Lord, knowing that he has the case, knowing that he has the situation, he's dealing with it, and then do what? Wait patiently for him. Okay, that's one of our biggest problems as human beings is impatience. Is impatience. You know, we live in an age of microwaves. Everything is instant. You know what I mean? You want to know the answer to a problem, you go online and you Google it and so on like that. And you know, everything is so instantaneous these days. Okay, so we are impatient people. You know, we're impatient people. We need to dealing with God. We need to rest in him and just wait on him. God knows what we need. He knows when your rent is due. He knows when your mortgage is due. He knows where every single deadline is in your life. So don't worry about it. Just rest back knowing that you've given it to him, knowing that you've rolled it over to him. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. You see, now he's talking about the person that is doing wicked things again. Okay, because we get so impatient in life because we say, gee whiz, you know, I need this, lad. And look at the guy across the street there. Gee whiz, he's prospering and he's doing this. He seems to have everything on time. He doesn't have to worry and wait for anything. You know, why me? Don't dwell on them. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. All right. So you see there again, verse 7, rest in the Lord and then wait patiently for him. This is a part of that rolling over process, all right? We also see in this same chapter here that if we go down to verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In other words, the steps, the things that you do in life, your actions are ordered by God, for he that delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Right? If you've got this issue going on and you've stumbled, you've made a mistake, don't worry about it. God will indeed pick you up. Now, if you were a part of compounding the problem, maybe you started off with that very first step where you should have stopped worrying. You know, you didn't stop worrying and you tried doing some things yourself or whatever. You know, instead of stopping and just, you know, not fanning the flames, you tried doing something else and it caused you to stumble. Don't worry about it. If you've given it to God now, you've rolled it over to him. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. God will indeed pick you up. God will pick you up. He's a wonderful and awesome and a loving God. He's not going to see you floundering. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Let him order your steps. What is it that I need to do in this issue? What is it that I need to do with this problem? What is it that I need to do with this turbulence, this tribulation? Let God order your steps. Let God tell you what those steps are supposed to be. Okay. Again, this is a part of that stopping, dropping to your knees in prayer, and then rolling it over and giving it over to him. Giving it to him, you see? If you go down further in the same chapter, the same proverb, go down to verse number 39, we see that, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Do not forget that, saint of God. Do not forget that. He is your strength in the time of trouble. Any tribulation that you have, and it's interesting that the word of God uses that word strength, because the Lord knows again that when you've got this issue in life going on, when you've really got a big burden, a big tribulation, I mean, it just seems like everything, you do tend to feel weak. Sometimes you may not want to even get out of bed. You don't feel like getting up. You know, the alarm clock goes off, or maybe you just wake up. Maybe you had a hard time sleeping at all during the night, but time comes when it's time for you to get up to start your day. You don't feel like getting out of bed. You feel too weak. You just want to lay there and just go back to sleep. You know, when you have a really big burden on your shoulders, whatever in life is going on that's negative, you do experience some weakness. This is another reason we need to unburden ourselves and cast it and give it over to the Lord. Give it to God. Okay? The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Verse 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Right? Because they trust in him. So you see, the criteria is that you trust in God. You trust in God. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. So God will deliver you from whatever it is that you're going from. But you got to trust in him. You got to stop worrying about the problem. You got to stop compounding the problem by trying to do it yourself, figuring out who you can text, call, who you can go see. You need to stop doing all of that. Drop to your knees in some prayer and then roll it over to God and know that if you trust in him, that he's going to be there to help you and that he will indeed deliver you. Not my words, the word of God here. You just read them. Hopefully you're highlighting and putting these words down so you can revisit them as the issues of life indeed come up. And lastly, we have to remember that God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not our ways. We can't try to figure out the whys. We can't try to figure out the why things happen. Things that happen to us, many times can be caused by forces of darkness. And God will permit certain things to a point. He will permit certain things to happen in our lives, all right, to a point. God is in charge. Remember that. He's in charge of your life. But things can happen. Things can always happen. Don't try to figure out why God is permitting or why God is doing something or why God is not permitting, why God is not doing something, because God's ways are not our ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts, all right? Let's go to some familiar scripture there. Let's go to Isaiah 55, verse number 6. Isaiah 56, verse number 6. Also the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, even them will I bring. I'm sorry, Isaiah 55. I know that didn't quite sound right. Excuse me. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Okay. So sometimes my tablet with my Bible, it just kind of does what it wants it to. Amen. But Isaiah 56. 55, Isaiah 55, verse number 6. So sorry. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Right. Seek ye the Lord, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. Please underline that part. Let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. To our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So you need to return to God, by the way, if you feel like you've drifted away for some reason. You haven't been praying as religiously or as constantly as you should have or so forth. You know, return to him. You know, God has never left us. We wind up leaving him because we get so busy and caught up in other things. But God will never leave us. Amen. So return to God. Return to God. Verse number 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Important thing to understand. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Okay. So that means that many times that you think the answer to your problem is so-and-so, so-and-so, and this is how you would go about solving it. You're not God. You're not God. So God does not look at your problem or look at your situation the way you look at your problem or your situation. Okay? Your thoughts are not the same as God's, and neither are our ways God's ways. How we would go about solving something is no way near the way God would go about doing something. Okay? It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways and thoughts are much, much higher than ours. Matter of fact, what we as human beings do many times, we try to bring God down to our level in carrying out, going through our lives, instead of us trying to achieve and try to go and strive to go to God's level. His thoughts and his level is way above us. So we should not be trying to bring God down to our level. No way, not indeed. So we have to remember that when God is dealing with this problem, his way of addressing the problem, his way of thinking through the problem is light years different from yours, much higher than yours. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. So anyway, the way God has spoken over you, or what God has spoken over you, is not going to come back to him without materializing, without happening. Everything that God said in his word will indeed come to pass in your life. It's not going to come back to him void. Okay, he just doesn't make idle promises. Man will, but God doesn't. So shall my word that go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Okay? All right. So what he said about you, all the great stuff that he's promised about you, that is not going to, it's not going to come back to him void. It is indeed going to happen. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So God promised you prosperity, God promised you health, and what you're having faith and you're trusting and you're doing what God wants you to do, then that's going to come to pass in your life. Okay, it's not going to be just a void statement that God sent out into the ether. It's going to prosper, it's going to work in your way. All right. He goes on to say in verse number 12, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Okay? So God has made all of these promises. That's all a part of you understanding that and believing it and realizing it when you roll that problem over to God. Okay? Stop, drop, and roll. Stop worrying about the problem. Stop exacerbating the problem and making it worse by you running around, fanning the flames and making your life worse. Stop going into negative mode, negative gear. Every time you have an issue, every time you are aware of an issue coming up in your life, just stop doing that. Okay. And drop down on your knees and go into prayer. Okay. And pray fervently. Pray with all of your spirit, but from the depths of your being, knowing that Jesus is indeed on the case. And then you just roll it over to God. Give the problem over to God. Amen. Amen. Stop, drop, and roll. This is a strategy that we can apply. And believe me, it works. It works. And what I think the hardest part of us human beings is the very first part, is the stopping. Stopping the worrying and stopping the panicking. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hope this message was a blessing to you. And if it was, tell others where we can be reached. That's www.genesis1.sermon.net. www.genesis1.sermon.net. And if you look at the top of the page, you'll see a subscribe button. Click on that subscribe button and you'll be notified automatically when these messages are available. We're also on YouTube, Genesis 1 Christian Ministries. Just do a search for it. We also have apps available for Android and Apple devices. All free of charge. Just go to the respective Play stores to download them. All free of charge for you to use, And all of these messages, by the way, you can download them. Or again, free of charge. You can download the video portion that you're looking at, listening to now. Or if you want, you can download the audio-only portion if you want. Again, all free of charge. It's all there for you, to bless you and to help you to understand and to know the Word of God. Amen. Also, by the way, if you are in the Salem, Oregon area, please stop by to visit us and worship with us. We have Sunday services at 10:30 a.m., and we hold services at 2651 Commercial Street Southeast, 2651 Commercial Street Southeast in Salem, Oregon. It's in the Candelaria Terrace area of Salem there. Okay, so come on by. We'd love to have you. We'll pray with you, pray for you, and let's just worship and fellowship together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Again, I hope this message was a blessing. Come back and join us again next time. Amen. And why don't we just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've had with you, Lord God. And now we pray that as we go through the balance of the day ahead of us, that we remember this strategy, O Lord God, to stop, drop, and roll, O Lord God. Let us always be aware that as tribulations come into our lives, which they will, we understand, O Lord God, we will stop trying to fix the problem ourselves and worrying about it. We'll drop to our knees and consult you in prayer, O Lord God, and then just roll it over and give it all to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, we praise you, Lord God. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for being there for us, O Lord. Thank you so much for loving us as you do. And we love you, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We magnify thy most glorious name in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God, praise God. I pray that you go forth and be blessed. And remember that Jesus is Lord.